In Fox News news, this week the network announced conservative radio host and contributor Laura Ingraham will be joining the primetime TV lineup with her own show. Ingraham is already a mainstay on the network. Here she is on Fox and Friends describing her new show.
Unpredictable. A bit of a wild ride in politics and the culture. We're going to have a lot of fun and introduce new viewers, I think, to what Fox is all about. And we're going to do our best every night to make people learn and laugh.
Starting October 30th, the Ingraham angle will take Sean Hannity's 10 p.m. slot. Hannity moves to 9 p.m., where he'll face off with MSNBC's Rachel Maddow. Let's bring in NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. Hi, David.
Hey, Jeremy.
And what do you make of this shakeup in primetime at Fox News?
Well, I think they think they're accomplishing two things. One is they're putting a strong opinionated figure, somebody who's certainly Trump forward much of the time in prime time. They're adding a woman to the roster, a single host who's female, which they haven't had since Megyn Kelly decamped for NBC. And they're fixing what happened at 5 o'clock. Remember Eric Bolling, who used to be with The Five, the sort of Motley Crue show that had just moved to 9 o'clock. Bolling was bounced over a sexual harassment scandal of his own not too many days or weeks ago. And so they said, let's just move the five, which has been pretty successful for us, back to 5 o'clock where it started and have a solidly Trump-friendly lineup. And let's be fair, the five often had somewhat dissenting voices periodically percolated up in there. This kind of tends to winnow those out as well.
It also puts a bigger reliance on conservative talk radio hosts, Laura Ingraham and Sean Hannity, both in prime time.
Look, I think that was very much part of the model if you think back to the late Roger Ailes' envisioning of Fox News. The idea was that the opinionators, that talk radio could be made into good TV and cheap TV. You pay somebody a lot of money to talk, and that's basically the extent of your costs. This is the way in which Fox in particular has evolved. And Sean Hannity is, you know, one of President Trump's closest allies, you know, somebody he frequently talks to on the phone and consults. I mean, there are going to be people up and down this Fox lineup that Trump is on the horn to. Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham. Sometimes folks like Kimberly Guilfoyle on The Five. I'm sure he was talking to Bolling and people on Fox and Friends in the morning as well. This is solidifying support for Trump. And it's also they're trying to solidify the lineup at a time at which MSNBC has shown great strength. I don't think there's a ton of overlap between their two core audiences. But I do think there's a desire by Fox to show stability after what's been 15 months of real upheaval there.
Yeah. And hasn't Rachel Maddow been doing better at MSNBC than ever before in the competition against Fox News and other networks?
One of the signal lessons I first in some ways learned best by Fox is that an outfit works best if it's an opinion-driven enterprise in opposition. So Fox News really found its calling in some ways during the Clinton impeachment. It really hit a stride and it found somebody to cast as a villain. It found people to cast as victims and it found people to cast as heroes. You saw that, you know, Fox really sort of wrapped itself in the flag and took on the mantle of patriotism post 9/11 and understandably so in many ways. MSNBC has flourished by having somebody to focus its target on, just as Fox flourished in the Obama years and sort of worked to figure out how to navigate the possible transition from Obama to Hillary. Not that it's not a story, but focusing really intensely on questions about Benghazi. Well, Maddow has been focusing on Trump and on Trump's possible ties to Russia and about Trump questions of collusion, about Trump questions of corruption. You know, the list goes on and on and on. She's hit her rhetorical stride and she's also found an audience hungry to lap it up.
Also this week, David, the conservative commentator Scottie Nell Hughes filed a lawsuit alleging Fox Business Network host Charles Payne raped her. In 2013, she said he forced her into a relationship with him in return for professional favors. Nell Hughes claims Fox blacklisted her when she ended it after 2 years. What more can you tell us about that?
This is a complicated lawsuit. Let's be clear. It follows a wave and a raft of sexual abuse allegations against figures at Fox that led to the departure of Roger Ailes before his death, that led to the departure of Bill O'Reilly, its biggest star, Eric Bolling, as we just mentioned. This occurs in that context. It's also a problematic allegation in the sense that she says that he forced himself on her in a sexual assault, and then she continued in a relationship with him based on his promises of advancing her career, but also on being an abusive in some ways and violent figure toward her when she tried to disentangle herself from that involvement, at least according to her lawsuit. So there are people who are having trouble processing the full scope of her allegations. It does seem true that Fox says it was a consensual affair. Charles Payne, in response to the National Enquirer, said that he was involved in an extramarital affair with Hughes. And they say that their outside law firm did a review and found it to be consensual. And there certainly appears likely to have been email exchanges and correspondence indicating that that was the case. And yet she alleges this very different backdrop, and that's the case she's going to have to make.
Has Fox News, though, as a network, change the way that it responds to these kinds of things, takes them more seriously, for example?
You know, it has in the sense that it's gotten rid of some of its most important people. Roger Ailes is gone. Bill Shine, who had been president, is gone. Not that he had done anything himself toward women, but that he had enabled the actions of Ailes and others. Bill O'Reilly, if they could keep him there, you know, he's their top moneymaker. But it also occurred at a time when advertisers were bailing out, given a number of allegations, particularly those published by the New York Times, were mounting and rising. And that was something Fox ultimately wasn't interested in sustaining against the backdrop of this larger scandal. They do have different procedures in place. They do have a highly respected human resources, very senior executive in place, somebody who's said to know the law and to care about these issues. And they have shown a bunch of people the door. That said, there are certain allegations filed by women against Fox and against, among others, the late Roger Ailes, who said they were promised advancement that stopped when they refused to yield to his sexual intentions. And they've fought these tooth and nail. So there's Andrea Tantaros, who is a suspended host on The Five, who claimed retribution for certain allegations that she made. There's Julie Roginski, who was a commentator, a liberal commentator, who says that Ailes essentially promised her a role on The Five if she would, you know, enter into a kind of sexual liaison with him. And some of these, they're fighting very hard. Now, they say they're fighting these because of the facts of the matter. Others are saying that they are starting to really want to draw lines to stop having to pay out and to acknowledge these things. They feel they've taken enough hits and they want to move on.
That's NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. David, thank you.
My pleasure.